I invite you this morning to hear the words from Luke's Gospel, the 8th chapter, verses 4 through 15. As they went from town to town, a lot of people joined in and traveled along. He addressed them using this story. A farmer went out to sow his seed. Some fell on the road. It was trampled down, and the birds ate it. Other seed fell in the gravel. It sprouted, but withered, because it did not have good roots. Other seed fell in the weeds. The weeds grew up with it and strangled it. Other seed fell in rich earth and produced a bumper crop. Are you listening to this? Really listening? His disciples ask, "Why did you tell this story?" He said, "You've been given insight into God's kingdom. You know how it works. There are others who need stories, but even with stories, some of them aren't going to get it. Their ears or their eyes were open, but they don't see a thing. Their ears are open, but they don't hear a thing." This story is about some of those people. The seed is the word of God. The seed on the road are those who hear the word, but no sooner do they hear it than the devil snatches it away from them, so they won't believe and be saved. The seeds in the gravel are those who hear with enthusiasm, but the enthusiasm doesn't go very deep. It's only another fad. And the moment there's trouble, it's gone. And the seed that fell in the weeds, well, these are the ones who hear, but when the seed is crowded out and nothing comes of it, as they go about their lives worrying about tomorrow, making money and having fun. But the seed in the good earth are the good hearts, who sees the word and hold on no matter what, sticking with it until there's a harvest. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Send your word, O Lord, like the rain falling down upon the earth.
What do you want to be when you grow up? You just want to grow up? Yeah. I think that question's kind of followed so many of us through childhood, to where some of us are doing what we wanted to do when we grew up, while others are doing something so very different and maybe much more fulfilling than what we thought we would do. Or maybe we struggle with realizing, you know, where did it all go wrong? That I have not become a ninja in life. Somehow I got off that track and I became a preacher instead, but I still get to dress in a black robe, so that's close in some ways, right? So a couple years ago, when Lavender was going to preschool here, they had their preschool graduation right here on the stage, right where I was. And right here in front of where I'm standing, there was a microphone. And at the end of the kind of festivities, at the end of the graduation ceremony, all the kids got to come up and share what they wanted to be when they grew up. And the first child, a little girl, said that she wanted to be a teacher. And then whether she just kind of started a trend and they all just kind of locked into that, or whether that was just a popular conversation in that classroom, but every child came up and stood before this microphone and proudly declared that they wanted to be a teacher. Now, some of them had kind of a dual occupational aspirations. They wanted to be a teacher as well as a cowboy. I think one wanted to be a teacher and a scientist. There was a couple dual ones, but for the most part, I think maybe one or two kids maybe had that unique kind of individualistic thread, but almost all of them wanted to be a teacher. And after the graduation, we went down the hallway to the fellowship hall and had a little reception, and I went up to the teacher, and I asked her, I said, do you realize what all the kids said, what they want to be when they grow up? And she kind of chuckled. She said, yeah, she said they all want to be a teacher. And I said, no. I said, they said more than that. They all said that they wanted to be you. The impact that we have and the legacies that we share are just incredible when we think about this lifespan that we have as disciples. Our scripture reading this morning is one of the most famous parables that we have. It's so famous, in fact, that they've named it three different times. The parable of the seeds, the parable of the soil, the parable of the sower. And each title, and each time that you hear it preached with that title, you're going to hear a different lesson. You have a different perspective and a thought about what's going on in this particular parable. And it's such rich imagery. In a lot of ways, as soon as we hear it, we begin to understand it in a couple different levels, just based on our understanding of what we know of planting seeds and how when you try to put a seed on a sidewalk, it doesn't really last unless it's a dandelion inside of a crack in the sidewalk, right? But for those of us that have a green thumb, that understand how to nurture, how to prune, how to prepare, and how to plant, we understand that the more preparation that goes in, the more planting, the more care, produces a better plant or better harvest. Except if you're me and I have killed every plant that anyone has ever given me. I had a ficus tree that died a horrible death at one point, and I felt so guilty that I have sworn off of live plants in my office spaces or my house. Even my grass is not great grass. But we understand the images that come from this parable. But it's not exactly easy to understand as well. In fact, when you really wrestle with it, you actually come away with more questions than you do answers at different times. Because the parable almost isn't based in reality in a lot of ways. It's very obvious the metaphor that Jesus is trying to use. Because one of the first questions that I would have is a farmer at that time really that careless with his seed? That he would just walk along the path and just throw out seed where he absolutely knows that it's not going to grow or has any chance whatsoever. He's not harvesting a great crop out of the pathway to the next town. He's not throwing it down on the rocks and expecting all of a sudden to have this bumper crop that he could have otherwise. And then this bumper crop, some of the other translations says a harvest that's 100 times greater than normal. There's two theological lessons that we could possibly see, that if the farmer uses the exact same amount of seed that he usually does, that harvesting a crop that's 100 times greater could be a miraculous sign of showing what God can do with such limited resources of what we casually and can normally scatter into the world. On the other hand, the story doesn't say, did they get 100 times more crop because the farmer was using 100 times more seed to throw across the ground? And maybe that would be a lesson that teaches us what extravagance and generosity would do, that the more that we give of ourselves in the world, the more that God can do to raise up others and to offer signs of hope and compassion and care. We don't get the answers to those questions. But I think for today, a good question that I began to see rising up out of the scriptures is the disciples, as they heard this parable, that even they had questions, the same as we can have today, as they came to Jesus and says, what does any of this mean? Why are you telling this story? And I think a question that rises up out of Jesus' response becomes, what kind of disciple do you want to be when you grow up? Do we want to be the type of disciple that we only get glimpses and flashes of what God is? That we're so unrooted and we're so scattered by the world that as soon as we get a taste or a touch of being able to feel what roots would feel like, we're scattered away, we're snatched up by the many distractions or the many traps that come to this world. Or maybe those that we're so scared or we're timid or through any number of reasons, we can only put roots down so deep. And we never really know what it feels like to truly feel rooted. But we're more so familiar with feeling burned out and scorched and thirsty. But then this good seed in this good soil begins to produce something incredible. And what the parable begins to tell us that what happens when you are a hearer of the word. But then when we hear the word, what happens when we cling to the word? And we don't let go no matter what. And then when we cling to the word and we are surrounded and we are planted in soil that is tilled and prepared and planned and processed, that we are ready, there is a hope that is already set forward for us. That it's incredible what we can do when we are planted together. I think one of the unspoken truths about this parable that really began to kind of sink in with me as I was reading through a couple commentaries and a couple different reflections is at different times of planting, the farmer has to till up the soil first. They've got to plow it up. Now, there's disagreements with biblical scholars of whether they would plow up the dirt in the fall. But the disagreement is not that the soil's ready, but whether they plow it up because it's already been plowed up when they harvested the first harvest. But the point is that every inch of this good soil has had a farmer that has dipped his hands in it, that has planned for it, that has prepared for it, that has chosen what kind of seed he desires to plant, what kind of soil is necessary, the needs that it has, and that plan and the thought and the care that has gone into that preceded that seed ever even being touched into the dirt yet and covered over. But that plan, that hope, and that dream is what came before the harvest. Over the last couple weeks, we've been talking about stewardship, and you've been hearing a lot about stewardship. We've been talking about numbers, we've been talking about income, we've been talking about buildings, we've been talking about where we are and how we've gotten here, where we are today, but we come to a point of thinking about what is that harvest? What is that plan? What is that hundredfold crop, that bumper crop that comes tomorrow that we haven't seen yet? But we still have the dirt under our fingernails and the seeds in our hand, hoping and praying and knowing that it's possible because we've been those that till the soil. We've been those that hear the word. We've been those who plant the seeds. We've been those who cling to it in hope and patience and compassion. And we see what an incredible thing can happen when we as a church, as disciples, are planted together. One of the theme messages that you've been hearing through stewardship is what God can do with just a little bit. And we've been talking about DNA, that DNA is the smallest story that we have to tell of where we've come from, who we are, and how we grow to where we're going. And we've talked about that in terms of gift, how God can use just a little bit to do a big thing. We've talked about what happens if 200 of our members were to be able to give a new gift or an increase of $20 a month, how that could represent $48,000 to our budget. If 200 people gave $40 as a new gift or as an increased contribution, $96,000 to renovate building spaces, to start new communities and new partnerships with the schools, new feeding ministries and partnerships to build up the feeding ministries that exist, ways to dream that we've heard through our listening sessions in incredible ways. 200 new gifts of $100, or an increase of $100 just a month, would represent $240,000 of new dreams and of hopes, not for this church, but for this community, to transform lives in incredible, incredible ways. And each one of those dollars, each one of those start as a plan, as a hope, and as a seed that we carry with us. But it's not just the financial gifts. It's that question that comes down out of the explanation that Jesus gives is, what kind of disciples do we want to be? And that all begins with, can we be hearers of the word? Can we be clingers of the word? And can we be planted together? And if we can do those things, then our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness become so much greater than anything that each of us can give individually, but begin to be the first signs of the very kingdom of God here in Alabaster. So when Jesus asks us, what kind of disciple do you want to be when you grow up? We can say, Jesus, we want to be a part of the vine just like you. We want to grow up to look like you. And may it be so today, and may it be so tomorrow. Amen. Will you bow your heads as we pray this morning? Almighty and gracious God, we do give you thanks for your word. Your word, which is the good soil in our lives. Your word, which is the seed. Your word, which sows the truth that we need. Allow us to be hearers of the word. Allow us to cling to your word. Allow us to be planted in your grace and your mercy, that we might be a hope and a harvest of hope that this community needs to feast upon in the days ahead. As we pray all these things in Jesus' name, amen.